Once upon a time, there was a village that raised cows. The cows provided lots of milk for the villagers to enjoy, and they sold the surplus and made a profit. Everything was fine until one morning when the villagers woke up, there was no milk at all. Puzzled by this strange turn of events, a young man volunteered to stay up all through the night to see the mysterious disappearance of the milk and what had caused it. And so that night, the young man stayed up. He hid behind a bush, waiting for many hours. Finally, in the middle of the night, he was shocked to see a beautiful young woman carrying a large bucket. She rode a moonbeam from heaven to earth. She milked all the cows, filled up her bucket, and then headed back up into the sky. Wow! The man was amazed by this, and he returned the next night, but this time he prepared a trap so that he could catch the young woman. He demanded to know who she was and why she had come to steal their milk. The young woman replied that she was a sky maiden, part of a tribe that lived in the sky. They had no food of their own, so it was her responsibility to find food on the earth and take it back to her people. She pleaded with the young man, "Let me go back just this once. I'll do anything you ask." And so the young man agreed on one condition. He said, "I will allow you return to your people, but you must come back in 3 days and marry me." The sky maiden agreed. She returned home, and 3 days later, she came back for the wedding. She carried a large box with her, and she said to the young man, "I will be your wife, and I will make you happy, but you must promise to never look inside this box." So the young man agreed. They had a happy marriage, and for many weeks, everything went smoothly. They were so happy together. But one fateful day, while his new wife was out of the house, curiosity got the better of the young husband, and he peeked inside the box. But to his surprise, he discovered there was nothing inside. The box was empty. Now, when the sky maiden returned to his house, his look on his face gave him away. She knew instantly that he'd looked inside the box. She asked him, "Did you look in my box?" "Yes," replied the young man, "but it was empty. What's so secret about an empty box?" The sky maiden was devastated. A tear trickled down her cheek. "I'm sorry, but I can't live with you any longer," she said. "I'm leaving you at once." "Why? Why?" the young man cried. "Why? What's so terrible about peeking into an empty box?" "I'm not leaving you because you looked into my box," said the young woman. "I'm leaving you because you said my box was empty." "It wasn't empty. It was full of the things most valuable to me. It was full of the sky. For you see, when I left last time before our marriage, I went back to my village and I gathered the things that are dear and precious to me. I gathered the sky and the air and the light and the smells of my parents' village. I put them in the box. But what is precious to me became emptiness to you. How can I be your wife when what is most precious to me means nothing to you?" And so the sky maiden left. The young man was devastated, but it was too late. He learned the hard way that when you don't value the most precious and intimate nature of your spouse, it destroys trust and love. When you look at the most intimate part of your mate's identity and fail to understand it, fail to appreciate what it means, you kill the spirit of the home. Sadly, many earthly homes are torn apart by this very same problem. Too often, husbands and wives devalue the most intimate part of the identity of their spouse. That's why we need to hear today's sermon. Though it may not be easy and you may at times feel uncomfortable, one of the most critical aspects of a covenant home is going to be addressed today, and that is the sexual aspect of marriage. For you see, the truth is, when a man and woman unite together in sexual union, the most intimate secrets of our lives are uncovered. When we're naked, face to face, we open our bodies and souls to one another. And to mishandle this intimacy can destroy a home. But when we understand and accept one another in that most vulnerable moment of intimate revelation of ourselves, we can become bonded in a unity that cannot be broken. That's why I'm preaching a sermon this morning entitled Contentment, The Secrets to Sexual Satisfaction in Marriage. By God's grace, we're going to discover what God says about the power of sexual union in marriage and how we can harness that power to raise a family and build a covenant home. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you as the creator of heaven and earth. You also created us. You gave us a unique identity. And Lord, I thank you that you know all things. And today we ask that you would reveal to us how you view so many aspects of our marriage, but most especially the sexual union that you desire for us. I know this is a difficult topic, Lord. Some might feel pain, some might feel shame, but I ask that your Spirit will bring us peace. And that at the end, we will be edified and inspired to follow after your plan for marriage. I submit everyone to you. I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. And I loose the Spirit of the living God to bless us and lift us, to help us and change us, that your name would be glorified while we remain blessed. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to invite you to pray with me for a moment. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I believe the Spirit of the living God is doing something wonderful in our church during this Covenant Home series. Lives are being transformed. Marriages are being healed. Hope is being restored. And I believe today will be no exception. This morning, we're taking a look at the fourth pillar of a covenant home. And this fourth pillar is the contentment pillar, contentment in our sexual relations. Now, I have to admit right up front that this is not an easy message to preach. I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit difficult. I don't want to say the wrong thing and look like a fool, you know, and I don't want to be too light, but I don't want to be too serious. And my wife's right here, and she's going to kill me if I do the wrong thing, all right? It reminds me of the story of a young pastor who's new in a church, and the church asked him to preach on the subject of sex. Well, the pastor was a shy, reserved type, so this was very difficult and challenging for him. In fact, when he was preparing and writing out his sermon, he couldn't even write the word sex. I mean, so instead of writing the word sex, everywhere he wanted to say the word sex, he just wrote the letter S. Well, as he was writing his sermon, his wife came up behind him and looked over his shoulder and said, "Wow, your manuscript is filled with the letter S. What is the topic of your message?" And the young pastor was so embarrassed about sex and ashamed. And he said, it's about swimming. I'm preaching on swimming. His wife said, "Swimming? Ah, you don't swim. I mean, you only tried it once and you almost drowned. You know, what are you going to say about swimming?" But anyway, the wife said, "Well, maybe there's some message about swimming that will help us in our faith." So she left him. Well, believe it or not, that very Sunday when the pastor was going to preach about sex, the wife fell ill and she couldn't attend church. So all she knew was he was preaching about swimming. But later that week, she met one of the members of the church, and the member said, "Oh, your husband preached a powerful message on Sunday. It was so wonderful. It helped me a lot." And the pastor's wife said, "Really? I don't think he knows much about that topic. In fact, as far as I know, he's only done it once and it didn't go well." He wanted me to do it with him one time, but I said, "Oh no, I'm keeping both my feet on the ground." So I need a lot of grace today and a lot of patience, all right? Because this isn't an easy topic. Hallelujah. But the fact is this, I know there are some people who may feel as if we shouldn't talk about sex in church. It's too embarrassing, too private. If you're from an older generation where you were never even using the word sex at home, you might be embarrassed or surprised or feel uncomfortable. Now, the younger generation, you've grown up talking about it. It's on the radio, it's on the internet, it's on TV, it's on movies, and so you feel more open about hearing about it. In fact, I think some of you are here today just because of this topic. I see a lot more young men than usual out here today. Wow. But the fact is, friends, you can't talk about a covenant home, you can't talk about God's design for marriage without at some point in time talking about the role that sex plays in a home. For the fact is, we are all sexual beings. We all have sexual desires. You can pretend it's not there, but you're lying. You may not talk about it. You may try to ignore it, but the fact is, sex is a part of life. If not for sex, you and I wouldn't be here today. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. So here's what I want you to do right now. Everybody, take your hand like this. Take your hand and go like this. Come on, just go like this. All right, go like this. You know what you're doing? Remove the church mask from your face. A lot of you have a religious face. You know, you come in here with a religious face. Just pull it off right now. Come on, pull it off. We're going to get to the real you, all right? Pass the mask, pass the religion, pass the holier-than-thou Pharisee, pass nobody knows what you're thinking or feeling. We're going to expose it all to God and let God get inside and touch the real part of us. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. So let's discover what God says about sex in marriage. And to help us out, we printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I invite you to take them out right now as we discover the secrets to sexual satisfaction in marriage. And if you have your iPad or your web-enabled device here, on the back of your notes are instructions on how you can go to the net, to youversion.org, and find Agape House. All of our notes are online for your reference. But there at the top of your notes, on the screen behind me, is our scripture text for today, found in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, and chapter 2, 25. And I want us to read it all together out loud, all right? Read it like you mean it. Here we go. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, and 2, 25. Ready? Go. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. If we're going to discover God's plan for raising a family and building a home, we have to go back to the very beginning. We have to go to Genesis chapter 1 and see God's blueprint. And here in Genesis 1, we find the very first marriage. God joined Adam and Eve together. And in that statement, we see three basic truths that will help us find contentment in the area of our sexual union. So let's examine the first marriage on earth and find out the truth about sexual satisfaction. And here's the first truth. If you want to find contentment in the sexual side of marriage, you've got to align with God's design. Pick up your pen, fill in the two words align and design, and just say it after me. You've got to align with God's design. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. I thought we pulled back that mask. Align with God's design. Because see, here's the truth, friends. I know this may shock you, but God created sex. Hey! Now, a lot of people would not put those two words, God and sex, together in the same sentence. But the fact is, from Genesis 1, it's important to understand that God created sex. The devil did not create sex. A lot of Christians think it's from the devil, but the devil is not that smart. Sex is good. It's pleasurable. It's wonderful. And the devil doesn't want you that happy. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants you miserable and in bondage. He could never have created such a wonderful, glorious act as the sexual union between a man and a woman. But God is the one who created sex. He formed our bodies to be distinct from one another, male and female. He created your private parts in the way he did so that it would bring pleasure and enjoyment to you in marriage. God is a very good God, and he shaped our bodies in such a way for maximum pleasure, maximum enjoyment, maximum fulfillment, and maximum impact. If you believe it, say amen. Sex is God's plan for man and his wife. He created it. He made your body for pleasure. He designed you in such a way that when you come together in physical union with your spouse, you will have ecstasy. In fact, did you know that there is an entire book of the Bible devoted to sex? It's called Song of Solomon. And I bet it's going to be the most read book of the Bible this week. But that's what it is. It's all about a man and a woman enjoying God's sexual intimacy. But not only that, we need to understand something today. Sexuality is a reflection of the very nature of God. Human sexuality is essential to bearing God's image. Listen to our text again. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." And four times, God says, four times we're going to make man in our image and likeness. And the very same sentence, the very same breath, the very same text, He goes to say, four times I'm making man in my image, and He made them male and female. And the fact that we are male and female is a direct result of being created in God's image. So if we are to reflect His glory in marriage, we must reflect it in our sexual union and contentment. The fact is, God knows all about sex because He created it. He designed it. He designed it for impact and pleasure. And that's why I believe that God's will for every married couple in here today is designer sex. He's the designer. And He wants you to have designer sex. You know, there's some places you can go in a car. You're driving your car, you stop at the light, and a guy comes along by your window. He's got a board with a whole lot of watches. Some say Rolex. Some say Pierre Cardin. Some say Givenchy. All these fine watches. And you think, wow, you can get a Rolex right here in Accra. Then you ask the price, 50 CDs. If you buy that and take it home, in 1 hour's time, it won't work again. And you look closely on the back, it says, "Made in Tema." Look closely, the Rolex is misspelled, you know, R-O-L-A-X, Rolex, made in Tema. Listen, God doesn't want you to have sex made in Tema. This is East Legon. He doesn't want you to have knockoff sex. He doesn't want you to have fake sex. He doesn't want you to have anything other than designer sex. And that's why when you read Genesis 1, understand that God saw man and woman and said something more than what He said about anything else. In Genesis 1, when He created the heavens, He said, "It is good." He created the sun, moon, and stars. He said, "It is good." He created the animals and said, "It is good." He created the plants and flowers and trees and said, "It's good." But when He created man and woman, male and female, in Genesis 1:31, He said, God saw what He made, and it was very good. Somebody say, very good. It was very good. But the fact is, we will only discover how good sex is when we align with God's design. We will never have designer sex until we accept sex as it was created by the designer. And we find contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment in our sex lives only as we accept God's boundaries and adhere to His laws. And that's the difference between contentment and coveting. Contentment is when I yield my desires to God and I want what He wants. Coveting is when I want what I want. And the truth is, God wants your sex life under His control. For 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality. I did not create you to be sexually impure, God says, but the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And the fact is, friend, no matter whether you're male or female, no matter who you are today, you are not your own. It's not your body. You do not have the right to do to it what you desire. It belongs to God. It all belongs to Him, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, and everything you've got covered, it belongs to God. That's why in the Old Testament, the covenant that God made with a man was a covenant that touched his sexual identity. It was called circumcision. And any man in any tribe from any place who wanted to make a covenant with Jehovah had to take a knife and cut off part of his manhood and give it to God, because God said, I want the very thing that identifies you, the most intimate detail of your life. It must be surrendered to Jehovah. And we no longer practice physical circumcision by commandment, but we do require today that our sexual nature is yielded to God. For you cannot be in covenant with Jesus Christ and refuse to yield your sexuality to Him. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Your body is not created for sex. It's created for Jesus. He shed his blood that he might redeem your life, so that you might be delivered from the power and the bondage of sin, so that all you have and all you are belongs to Jesus Christ. And to build a covenant home, you have to align with God's design. Marriage is a covenant between God and a man and a woman, wherein the sanctity of the sexual nature of marriage must be kept pure. That's why Hebrews 13:4 tells us marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. And that brings us to our second truth today. Turn your notes over to page 2 and see the second secret is this. You've got to unite to get it right. Take your pen and fill in the words unite and right. Just say that after me. Unite to get it right. See, the first thing is we've got to align with God's design. We've got to say, God, my body, my sexual identity belongs to you. But then secondly, you've got to unite to get it right. For the fact is, God not only designed sex for pleasure and procreation, he also designed it as a bonding agent to bring unity between husband and wife. That's the truth we find in Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united. Everybody say united. To his wife. And the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. In other words, sex is not an act. It's an adhesion. Sex is not an event. It's an equation. Two become one. Sex is not a physical activity. It's a spiritual mystery. And in that union between a husband and wife, there's a powerful bond to keep you in your marriage. It's God's plan to unite you as one, as only sexual union can do. Sex is not just body parts fitting together for a moment of pleasure. It's a deeply spiritual, mysterious, divine bonding that produces unity in the marriage. It is an act of worship. That's why God commands married couples to have sex. You heard me right. God commands it. Of all the topics in the church today, perhaps this topic of sexual contentment is one of the most important, and yet perhaps one of the most neglected. You see, God created and designed sex, and he created marriage as being a beautiful way for that sexual desire he's placed in all of us to be fulfilled. The problem is, man has gone astray and used those physical, natural desires and abilities in a way that was never intended by the Almighty. If you want to have true contentment in your marriage, if you want to find true sexual satisfaction in your life, then you have to align with God's design. And the Bible makes it clear that marriage is the way that God intended for those passions and desires to be fulfilled. Outside of marriage, sex will burn you. It's a fire that can't be controlled without the power of the Holy Spirit, without following God's plan. So you need to come under the control of the Holy Spirit and allow God to revitalize you in this all-important area. I realize if you're not married and you're listening to this broadcast today, this topic might seem something that's a little bit different from what you've heard before. But I want to encourage you that the most important lesson for you to learn today, if you're not married, is that God has a plan and a purpose for your sexual desires. And when you align with God's design, when you submit your body unto him as a living sacrifice, you're going to find that place of fulfillment and contentment that God desires for you. When you come into a covenant marriage relationship, you're going to see God's beautiful destiny for your life fulfilled. Until then, know that God's grace is sufficient to keep you and to sustain you. Now, you've got to tune in next week for the all-important conclusion to this message, because you need to see the entire picture of this message together. Not just half the truth, but all of the truth. And I know as you tune in next week is going to be a life-transforming revelation in your life. Of course, I want to encourage you to go to my website at www.revrcw.com so that you can download the study guide and the teaching notes for this series, Covenant Home. You're also going to be able to view this session on the website, and you're going to be able to listen to the audio. I trust that you'll visit the website today, and when you do, please register so that we can have a record of your participation with us here on Revelation. From time to time, we'll send you important emails and messages about developments in our ministry. Well, I trust that I will see you here next week on this very station at this time and day for another episode of Covenant Home in Revelation. We'll be looking at part two of contentment. Until then, my prayer is that God will give you revelation from His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Episodes of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb can be downloaded or viewed online at www.revrcw.com. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is also on Facebook and on Twitter at RevRCW. Keep connected with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb to receive revelation and inspiration from God's Word.
Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.